Good afternoon or good early evening. I'm going to go ahead and start our meeting tonight. Welcome everyone here to the Joint Special Committee on Land Use Fairness. We do have enough members to have a full committee meeting, and that's what we're going to go ahead and enter into as based on the gaveling. What I want to do is go over a couple of things of how we're going to operate tonight. I do see numerous individuals that are here that have been here before. Thank you very much for being attentive and willing to come back and observe and be part of the process. Tonight we have a new measure which we will be taking testimony on. That is Senate Bill 833. I want to kind of give a recap that since the committee has opened after the session opened up, we have had to date three committee meetings that were invited testimony on Measure 37. We had one meeting that was public testimony on Measure 37. We had four other committee meetings that were public testimony on Senate Bill 505. And after that, we had two sets of invited testimony to answer questions that had been raised during the public testimony on Senate Bill 505. So we are here today on Senate Bill 833, and that's what we'll be taking testimony on. What I need you to do, if you're going to be giving testimony tonight, I need you to be telling us when you come up to give your testimony to state your name, so we have that on the record. I need you to state whether you are in support or in opposition to Senate Bill 833, and then you can give us a testimony that will be limited to only Senate Bill 833. In other words, we will not be taking any testimony on Measure 37 or on Senate Bill 505. As we've done in the past, we will limit the testimony tonight to 2 minutes. And the last thing I need to ask you to do is more of the housekeeping that I probably should have done at the very beginning. If you have a cell phone or if you have some type of electronic communication device, I need you to turn it off. The reason for that is because we have a PA system that will, in fact, pick up that sound, and sometimes it carries over into the to the web and others that are maybe trying to listen, and we want to make sure everyone has the opportunity. When I say off, that means in the off position, not in the meeting position or the silent, because apparently from what we've been told, it will in fact still could impact that. So with that, the other rule that we have is that those who are traveled more than 100 miles get to give testimony first. Of the three pages of witnesses that we have set up, I have only one person that has stated that they're 100 miles away. So we have to ask the magic question. Tom McDonald, where are you from?
Matterhorn.
Come on up. Yeah. Bingo. And Mr. McDonald, I'm going to have you sit there. I'm going to call up two other people, and then before we get your testimony, we'll have an overview from our committee administrator, and then we'll take your testimony. Please go ahead and have a seat. And then other two people that will be joining Mr. McDonald for this first panel will be Gloria Olson, and it looks like Sharon Canopa. If you two would come forward and... And Black, I'm sorry, I'll have you up right after this panel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 833 is brought to you at the request of the Association of Oregon Counties. What the measure does, it extends the time period for processing ballot Measure 37 claims that were filed between October 15th and December 5th, 2006, from 180 days to 540 days, which is 18 months. The bill requires that public entities issue waivers to ballot Measure 37 claimants who sign a release electing to establish one single-family dwelling on a tract or to create one additional parcel for the purpose of establishing one additional dwelling. And that release would forego any other claim under ballot Measure 37. The measure sunsets on January 2nd, 2009, and would take effect upon passage and signing by the governor.
All right, and before we start the testimony, I did neglect, we do have one other person that's invited. Mr. McDonald, I'm going to just ask you to step away from the dais for a moment. We're going to have the person from the Association of Oregon Counties, who this bill was actually introduced for, to come in. Y'all can just stay here. We'll get him up, and then we'll just get Mr. McDonald up, and we'll go right from there. So if you'd be so kind, sir. Art, why don't you come on up? And I apologize to everyone. We should have had Mr. Slack up on his own. Since he was the requester of the bill for the Association of Oregon Counties, we'll give him the opportunity to kind of do our first intro, and then we'll get into public testimony.
Mr. Vice Chairs, members of the committee, my name is Art Slocum with the Association of Oregon Counties. As you have heard from me in previous testimony, Oregon's 36 counties is in the process of processing a large amount of waiver requests that were filed about the last 6 weeks prior to December 2nd. We are in the midst of that. As we have indicated, some counties have up to 400 claims that they are in the midst of processing. And if you recall my earlier testimony when I showed you an alarm clock that was ticking, it continues to tick. And I would just say with respect to this bill, Senate Bill 833, which is, shall we say, more streamlined than Senate Bill 505 that you saw earlier, deals primarily with the extension. The time frame that's identified in the extension is a time frame that was requested by LCDC dealing with state claims. They have a considerable amount also, and we need your help now. The counties are moving forward based on the 180-day time frame that we currently have, and with the idea that it is unknown whether the legislature will grant an additional time frame to process applications. So I would just say to you that the counties are moving forward. They are making decisions. I would submit sometimes not the best decision at this point because the time factor is at play as they process waiver claims. And if they are making decisions that are unwise or maybe not well-founded, then when somebody goes to implement those waivers that have been granted, then we'll be going to phase two, which is the request for a land use application to implement that, either partition, subdivision, or something. And then we're going to wind up with more litigation and more problems and issues at this point that we're all going to face. And I think we'll face those at the state level. We'll also face those at the county level. So I would urge you to take some action prior to April, the beginning of April of this year, either to grant an extension or to deal with Measure 37 in a more comprehensive manner, because we need your help now. So, Mr. Chair, with that, that's the basis of 833. I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee and to urge swift action.
Thank you very much, Representative.
Can we ask a question?
I'd like to limit the questions. If you have a question, I don't want to get into a diatribe that we're going to go for 30 minutes and then cut into the public testimony unless people want to be staying here later than what our scheduled time is.
I think this is very germane.
Okay.
How many counties are behind out of the 36 so that the committee has a good idea of exactly how many counties you're talking about need this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Girard, I have not done another survey of counties to find out of the number of claims that were filed, how many are yet to be processed. So it's difficult for me to respond to that specifically. But as you know, based on the information I gave you earlier, there are a number of counties that had several hundred or more. And I would say, you know, just a guess at this point, somewhere between about half, I would say about half of the 36 counties are, at this point, have a good number of claims yet to process in the next couple of months.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet. Representative.
I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be very brief. Mr. Schlag, how many counties have you asked since our last meeting that want this extension? You said 18 had claims. How many have you asked?
Senator Przanski, Representative Smith, as I indicated, I have not served the county since we had the earlier testimony with regard to when you started this process. I do know that some counties are on track possibly to finish. I know that other counties are going to be more than hard-pressed to complete within the 180-day time frame at this point. But they will shift as much resources as necessary that it's at their disposal, whether they work 24/7. But they will not, again, they will not extend the liability of not making a decision within the 180-day time frame. They will not incur that liability at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. Art, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. McDonald, why don't you come on back up? And the other thing I'll announce to everyone, the way that it's scheduled for today, it does say that a public hearing and possible work session. For those who are here for a work session, we will not be having a work session tonight. So we will be exclusively taking public testimony. Mr. McDonald, since you've traveled the furthest, we'll let you go first.
Well, thank you. Well, since the what I was prepared to speak about was Measure 37, I haven't been to any of the other meetings. And it seems like it's limited.
Mr. McDonald, I need you to first state your name for the record.
Excuse me. My name is Thomas A. McDonald. I live in Madras, Oregon. We have ranch property in Ashwood, Oregon, which is 30 miles east of Madras. And we've owned it since, my family has, since 1878, hardly newcomers. And so I've sold some of it to my son, and I'm...
Mr. McDonald,
yes.
What I need you to do for tonight's testimony, I need you to limit your testimony to the Senate Bill 833, and also
All right.
You to tell us if you support it or if you're opposed.
I can make that quick. I oppose 833 and 505, and we should be talking about Democracy 101. But this, I don't know why we have to have these roadblocks being thrown up in front of us with this 833. I can't understand why it can't be turned back to the counties. Now, the gentleman before representing the counties, and so I think it opens the door for me. I think that the Jefferson County doesn't have the same problem as Multnomah County. Wheeler County doesn't have the same problem as Lane County. Trust us, you know, we can read and write, and we do know what we wanted when we voted. We should be allowed to have that vote. And so, again, I want to reiterate that I'm so against 833 or any of the other attempted roadblocks that have been thrown up before us. I want to congratulate those few that have carried the load and tried to get this, our wishes, granted. Folks, you're riding a good horse. Stick with it. Go in the race. Don't let us down.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Ms. Olson?
Thank you. Thank you, members of the committee. And I have to say, first of all, I have been watching you on the Oregon Channel, and I like it. I like being kept up to date. And I have appreciated what I've been learning. I was here to testify a couple of weeks ago.
Ms. Olson, I need you to go ahead and just put on the record your name.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm Gloria Olson,
and
I live at Albany.
Okay.
And I am opposed to the 833. I really think that the entire process needs to be put on hold, and I'm going to outline for you my reasons for saying so. To me, this is very serious. I'm of the opinion that if we were to ask the taxpayers, those who are paying the property taxes, how much more infrastructure do you want to support in your local communities, that we might have a different conversation. And I believe we need to broaden the conversation. I'm really concerned about the fact that the increasing property tax to finance the capital developments, the schools, the fire stations, the fire systems, the firefighting systems, the libraries, the kind of services that all communities depend upon and need that are not a part of the system's development charges are in need of being a part of a system's development charge for counties as well as for cities. if we're going to have this kind of development across our rural landscape, then I believe that we need to start talking about what it's going to cost for all the taxpayers, because, in fact, we are going to all be asked in our taxing districts to come up with and pass bond measures for additional capability for education and these other kinds of what I would call usual services.
Ms. Olsen, you have about 30 more seconds.
Thank you. And also, I might say that the work that's being done through the and I'm losing my notes, that we have this work that's being done in the Oregon Task Force, the statewide planning program, that is the piece that's the great look,
the big look.
Thank
yes,
you,
ma'am.
The big look. I'm searching my notes. The big look is to go to the citizens this summer for input. They're coming back to the legislature in 2009 to talk about what citizens are saying. And I guess what I'm really saying is that take this information to the citizens, because they're the ones who are going to pay the costs. They're going to pay the costs of the increased capacity to serve these developments. And we also want a chance to be heard as a part of the big look process. And so with that, I say, put a hold on everything. That's what we need to do. That's a responsible thing to do. And bring the citizens to the table. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Canova?
Hi. Senators and representatives, my name is Sharon Canopa. I am an Albany City Councilor. Albany City, and I'm opposed to Senate Bill 833. Albany City Council last week passed an ordinance, resolution supporting reform of Measure 37 and for support of Senate Bill 505. All of the legislators will be receiving copies of these resolutions. In regards to Senate Bill 833, this bill does not look at the overall picture and financial impact of Measure 37. You can never justify a certain number of dwellings in order to limit eligibility under Measure 37. The only number to base a decision on is what was campaigned for, and that was a dwelling on a person's land. To agree upon any numbers like tossing a dice in a game. I testified in the hearing on Senate Bill 505 about the financial burden Measure 37 has on all the taxpayers that reside in the cities. Another impact I would like to remind you about is the impact to cities' urban planning with Measure 37. So I've got testimony to submit here, which briefly explains about part of even urban planning and how it affects redevelopment and urban renewal planning, and also when cities are trying to update our statewide planning goals, there's no way we can do any kind of changes because basically somebody could put in a Measure 37 claim. So I have that in part of my testimony that I'll submit to you and save you the time right now. Basically my point is you must factor all the consequences into this puzzle with Measure 37, and Senate Bill 833 does not reach that level. This is why it is so important to have a Measure 37 timeout and evaluate every outcome to all of the language in Measure 37. Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Our next panel is going to be Peter Kanagi. I believe it's Carrie Coos, and then looks like Gerard Curry.
Co-chairs Brzezanski, McPherson, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak before you. Senate Bill 833 in its present
form. I need you to state your name for the record.
Peter Kanagi.
Okay, and also give us your position on 833.
Senate Bill 833 in its present form is a bad idea. Though I fully understand the predicament the counties are in, and I realize that a deadline extension has some merit, it does not solve any of the major problems created by Measure 37. Having sat through three Senate Bill 505 hearings and now the one today, it is apparent that this committee is not making any headway in regards to the problems created by the passage of Measure 37. It's very apparent that there are two diametrically opposed camps on this issue. You have Oregonians in action and the supporters of Measure 37 who would like to turn Oregon into Southern California, and the opponents of Measure 37 who want to ensure that the Oregon we know and love and the resource lands we depend on for our sustenance and quality of life are preserved for our grandchildren. Some things I'd like to keep in mind. Once our resource lands are gone, we will not get them back. The quality of life for the many is more important than the large profits for the few. It is very apparent that a significant number of people who voted for Measure 37 now regret it. Property rights are important, but the responsibility of landowners to be good stewards and preserve our resources for future generations is equally as important. Taxpayers should not have to pay landowners to be good stewards. Taxpayers should not have to bear the costs and burdens of providing infrastructure and services scattered across the landscape. And long term, preserving our resource land is fundamentally a national security issue.
About 20 more seconds.
It's apparent to me that this committee does not have the political will to deal with this issue. My suggestion to you is to gut this bill, stuff it with a temporary hold on Measure 37 and similar to what was in 505, and send to the voters this May two measures. One would simply repeal Measure 37, and one would simply allow the building of a single house by the current owner if it was allowed at the time the current owner purchased it. Thank you.
Thank you. And is it Corey?
Mm-hmm. Hi. I'm Corey Coos, Lebanon, Oregon, and I'm testifying in opposition to Senate Bill 833. Thank you for letting me speak. I am sure you have all heard the facts, studies, and projections of what I perceive would be the impact of Senate Bill 833 and Measure 37 on land use laws. What I can give you is a land use story through my eyes and experiences. I am a first-generation non-hobbyist commercial farmer. We farm in Linn County. The family that I married into over 30 years ago is third-generation Oregon farm family. We have a fourth generation that also would like to farm. Sometimes individual rights are superseded by the safety, health, and welfare of the group. I am a firm believer that the governmental regulations that guide and rule us have made us better farmers. We keep track of our chemical use, rinse and recycle containers. We eliminate the dust pouring out of our cleaning warehouses by installing better systems, plant trees, revitalize streamside embankments to keep and attract wildlife, and plant crops to enrich the soil. We do this all within the parameters of land use laws. 2 years ago, things changed with Measure 37, and I think they will change with Senate Bill 833. Are we that too short-sighted that we don't see the importance of our farms? That Measure 37 is not just making physical changes, it's making economic changes that affect farming. I have to compete with my neighbor who just sold some farmland for $40,000 for development, where current farm ground sells for $3,500.
Ms. Coos, about 30 more seconds.
Okay. I cannot comprehend why Measure 37 is put up to a popularity vote. I do not understand why we as farmers do not receive economic development dollars when we are a viable economic entity. This is my story, and I want my children and grandchildren to be able to farm too, to grow something besides a cash cow. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Gerald Curry, Mesquite, Oregon, and I'm strongly opposed to 833 for the simple fact that it's procrastinating the time that we have available in our life to take care of our property. We can't give a property to our kids right now with the zoning that's on it, and that's sad. When you have five kids, you can't give them anything. And it's I believe that procrastination is just taking the life of us older people away. And I don't like to see that kind of stuff happen. I think that we bought the property in 60, 68 and 72, and I think we should have the right to be able to at least give one piece of property to our kids. Even though we got six tax lots, we can't do anything in Clackamas County because they lost all the records in the first time when we opposed them back in 1978 in the floods. But they will not accept the records. We have copies of what the decisions were back in those days. I'd like to see things happen more realistically the way they should. Thank you.
Thank you for all three of you for being here today. Our next panel will be Walter Mendenhall, Verl Holden, and Jim Gilbert.
That's the price.
somehow. That's three.
My name's Walter Mendenhall from Willamina, over towards the coast. I'm opposed to Senate Bill 833. Kind of agree with the last speaker that I feel it's more of a stalling thing. I guess where I'm coming from is that I'm a longtime landowner. Land's been in the family for over 100 years. And I feel that property rights are one of the most important rights that a citizen can have of our state and our country. 35 years ago, when LCDC was established and land use law started going into effect, landowner input was basically ignored, and after 35 years of being run roughshod by LCDC, most landowners don't trust the government anymore. And every time a Senate bill comes up here in relation to Measure 37, I feel that it's another attempt to thwart the will of the people in voting in Measure 37 and giving back the landowners the rights that they had 35 years ago. That's all we're asking for. Issues of compensation are brought up. Why should the landowner be expected to burden on his back the full cost of providing green space or agricultural land or whatever when there's other opportunities for that land? I'm not opposed to compensation. If people want to preserve farm ground, preserve green space, then in prime areas especially, then I think those should be compensated for that so that land can stay like that. But the landowner should not be expected to bear the burden of preserving those types of things. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Holden?
I'm Bill Holden. I'm a nurseryman out by the Silverton area, in the Hall Prairie. I'm opposed to the bill because I think that the county planning people have time enough to take care of these claims. I'm also opposed to the measure number 37 because I want to see farmland and open farmland preserved for future generations. And I really do concur with all of the testimony has been given so far. And so in appreciation of the shortness of the meeting, I'm going to pass to my friend and colleague, Jim Gilbert.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Holden. Mr. Gilbert.
Good evening, co-chairs and members of the committee. It's nice to be here again. I wanted to brought my friend Viral Holden tonight and also Ellen Egan, another nursery owner.
Need to state your name.
Yes, my name is Jim Gilbert. I'm sorry. I live between Malala and Canby. Hey. I have a nursery business there.
You also need to tell us your position on the bill.
And I'm against Senate Bill 833. For me, it's a very personal issue. I have three Measure 37 claims within a quarter mile of my nursery. I'm very concerned about the water issues that I'll face. Our water table is not that high. We already in the summertime have difficulty irrigating our crops, and I can see one of those 37 claims is an 880-unit subdivision on what is now productive Filbert land. I'm very disappointed that Measure 505 did not come to a vote, or at least you, that for some reason you decided not to pursue that further. I'm not quite sure, but Measure Senate Bill 833 just does not do the job because it will these claims will continue to be processed, the ones that that we're trying to that we find such a threat to our farmland. I believe Oregon is no accident. Our healthy agricultural economy is no accident. It was very visionary and wise people who, even up to 100 years ago, when Oswald West protected our beaches, and then Governor Tom McCall and Hector McPherson and others were wise enough to see the threat to our farmland and to our agricultural economy that we are here today, able to have farms near urban areas and make a good living at it. So I really would encourage you to take a leadership role and to go back to Senate Bill 505, which is not perfect by any means, and I'm sure that will result in McMansions being built on farmland, but at least it's only one, which would be a huge difference for me in my farming and being able to continue in the occupation that I'm doing and not have to flip burgers at Wendy's. So I thank you very much.
All right, Ms. Gilbert, thank you very much. Our next panel will include, I believe it's Vanille Vandermolen. David Mim, and I think it's Marsh, maybe Matthew Granite or Granette.
Green light.
Sorry, I can't read the writing, so whoever can correct me. Okay, we've got four people instead of three.
David Milne.
And going back, we had...
M-I-H-M, I think, is what we had.
So, David Milne taking position number three.
All right, that's good enough. We'll get you when you identify yourself. And one thing before you give your testimony, I did look over to my right, your left. Senator Johnson is not here. She had asked to be excused, and I want to put that on the record, that she is excused from tonight because of a previous commitment that she had to be at. And so with that, we'll go ahead and start off with Lanelle.
Lanelle Vandermolen is my name.
Thank you.
Senator Prozanski, members. I was here 2 weeks ago, and I gave you an aerial view of my farm then. I'm passing out a new one because the old one is now obsolete in the fast-changing world of Measure 37 claims. I now have two potential developments on each side of my farm. And so as you can see by looking at it, we're going to have checkerboard development on farmland if things proceed the way they are right now. I encourage you to reject Senate Bill 833. As a previous supporter of Measure 37 who now regrets it, I've seen firsthand how the fine print was written only to ensure the property rights of would-be developers while suppressing the rights of adjacent property owners trying to protect our investments. If Measure 37 represents the will of the voters as its proponents claim, we can logically assume that the time limits and deadlines written into it also reflect our will. They shouldn't be able to pick and choose only the aspects of their own bill that benefits them. Unlimited rights without responsibilities is creating chaos for the rest of us. Those under threat of impending development are further disadvantaged by Senate Bill 833 because it's only a band-aid that doesn't address 37's problems, and it gives counties more time to rubber stamp all these last-minute claims that have come flooding in. Please don't give all the advantages to developers and reject Senate Bill 833.
Thank you. Let's see, I believe it's David next.
Hi, Chairman and committee members. My name is David Mim, and I'm opposed to Senate Bill 833. My wife and I reside in the area of Cove Orchard, which is north of Yamhill. And the reason I am against 833 is I have an approved state and county level Measure 37 application. When we purchased our property in 1973, we purchased 13 acres, hardly enough to farm on if there was adequate water, at best. However, that was not our intent to become professional farmers or to provide a living as such. I was a professional firefighter. I served for 30 years in the community. I've survived two brain tumors and exposure to chemicals. And a time element is a critical thing for me, especially in light of the fact that I have two Measure 37s or Measure 37 approvals from the county and the state level. Our property was divided into 13 acres was divided into 21 lots when we purchased our property. Now, knowing that we were not going to provide an income sufficient to support a family, I worked outside the house, and my wife took care of the farm or the property as such and raised the kids, and the kids all helped with that. Our son and our sons and daughter were all active in Future Farmers of America and 4-H. Our oldest son received the highest degree in Future Farmers of America State Farm Award, and we raised our own beef and our pork and chickens, eggs, and vegetables and so on. And the intent with our Measure 37 claims was not to profiteer by developing, if that be the word, or become a developer, but was rather to provide a place for our children and grandchildren to reside close to our residence in the untimely event of my demise or in a timely event, that they could live where they grew up and provide for their children a rural environment where they could learn the value of rural living and raise a few animals and so on.
Mr. Mann, we have about 20 seconds.
How many?
About 20 seconds.
Okay. The area that we live in does not have sufficient water. And it is broken into small lots. It is not feasible to farm it. And I've seen the beauty out there. I've seen the cars riddle the yards and so on. Now, this is the beauty that we want to protect. It's too bad that we want to protect it. I'm all for improving and increasing the value of the property and increasing the potential tax aspects of that improvement. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Greenhite.
I guess we're confusing our names together, so maybe I should switch then. I'm David Millman. I'm sorry, I misheard.
David Mim.
Right, so our names are close. I thought you were mispronouncing my name, I'm on the list for later perhaps then.
Since you're up here, let's just go ahead and do that. It's going to take more time getting people moved around, but thank you.
Sure. My name is David Millman. I'm from Dayton, Oregon, and I oppose 833. I'll be brief in this. I'm the general manager for Domaine Drouin, Oregon, a family winery based in the Dundee Hills of Oregon. We're owned by the Drouin family of Burgundy, France. We've been producing fine wine for 127 years. I'm here today really just to urge you to remain focused on 505 if possible, rather than give further consideration to 833. I want to be up front that I'm pro-business. I am pro-development. I understand and believe in growth. I do not wish time to stand still, but I also believe strongly in fairness, mutual respect, and order, not chaos. I'm here today because it's clear to me that Measure 37, despite best intentions, is creating chaos. It bypasses zoning and planning. It pushes development not to where it should go, but into random pockets of opportunity. The state of Oregon needs the time to figure out a way to balance the intent of voters with the understandable desires of longtime property owners, with the needs and rights of adjoining property owners, which is why I'm here today, and, of course, with the long-term economic goals of the state's various agricultural businesses. This is why we need 505, not 833. I'll hand over my notes, and you can go over them later. I'll just say briefly, when I sit in this room and hear everyone and the points that they raise, and they're all understandable, and the fact is I think there is more consensus in the middle than people would imagine, but it needs time and it needs thought, and what's going on now is doesn't encompass that. So I would urge you to stay the course with something like 505 that provides the additional time that is necessary to make good decisions for the future. Yeah, I know you want investment like the Drouin family who've come to Oregon. They came 20 years ago and have brought a lot of international repute. It's not clear they would have made the same choice had they known that there would be Measure 37 claims on most sides of their property right now. I think we have
15 seconds.
Yeah. So, in summation, keep going and really this deserves the most thought possible, not the least. Right. So I appreciate your efforts.
Great. Thank you very much for your time. Mr. Greenhite, why don't you come on up, and then that will also Dwayne Weeks, and looks like Al Morelli. And Mr. Greenhite, we'll let you go first.
Right. Thank you very much. My name is Matt Greenhite. I'm from Gladstone. You should have a sheet that's a printout of an email that I handed you. Basically, I'm opposed to Senate Bill 833 as is. It puts too great an extension on Measure 37 claims. I didn't realize that the Association of Oregon Counties wouldn't know which counties were having extension problems, so I'll find out from Clackamas for you, but I know quite well Clackamas, which is one of the largest Measure 37 counties, does not need a year. It does need an extension, but it does not need a year. And I'll be glad to find out how much time they do need and get that to you. I do believe, though, in separating the claims from October 15th to December 5th, I do believe in a reasonable time extension. I have no problem with prioritizing claims for one house, maybe with a two-month extension. So my clients might, but I don't. But I also believe that 833 needs to be expanded if it's going to pass. We need to prioritize other claims by size and type. The big projects are the projects that are going to be the most time-consuming to approve, and they're also going to be the ones that are going to have the most opponents. Those should be pushed to the back. If we're going to separate all these off in one group anyway, we should push all those to the back and start with the smallest ones and then move to the bigger ones. This is the time The other thing is that Senate Bill 833 seems to suggest that we will it does not in any way, shape, or form allow for or require the approval of claims that have been reviewed, and we saw from Senate Bill 505 that was an attempt to lock all of them up for until July 15th or July 30th, and then issue. There's nothing in this bill that seems to suggest that if a waiver was approved, that a waiver would be issued. So, as the claims are approved, we would have to require that the waivers be issued also, rather than all of them held for a year. And didn't seem to be anything in Senate Bill 833 that allowed the waivers or required the waivers to be issued as they were done. Also,
you have about 15 seconds.
Okay. This is also, I think, the time to rule on transferability. Probably not at final building of the house, but maybe after the recording of the plat. And also, I think if 833 to pass, we should allow for a death during this time period.
Thank you. And let's see. That brings us back to, I believe, Dwayne Weeks. Mr. Weeks.
Thank you, Senator Brzezinski, Chairman, and co-chairs, and others. I am Dwayne Weeks from Canby, Oregon, and I'm opposing Senate Bill 833. This is very much the same basic stuff as what was in 505. There's a few more time bombs, a few put in and a few taken out, but there's still some real bombs out there. This gentleman on the far right touched the thing that I think should be solved first, and first things first is transferability. That was not given to us properly by interpretation in the initial Senate bill, or excuse me, Measure 37. And now you come back in here, and 505, you had fast track with a remonstrance on it that you couldn't break it down in the future any more than the one lot if you went fast track. That's a mortgage on the future of your grandkids. And I think it would be a real travesty to put such a thing in legislation and on deeds. It's horrible. I recognize the workload that the counties have. Senator Schrader is my neighbor, and I know him quite well, and there's a tremendous workload in Clackamas County. But I could go for an extension, no problem. If they're doing a good, diligent job, trying to do the same job they did with me when I went through, I have my approval. My question is now, does this muddy up the waters to where I can't go ahead with my approval? It isn't spelled out in the bill.
You have about 20 seconds.
Okay, thank you. It comes down to being fair. It's getting muddier and muddier and murkier all the time. And the fairness part of it is get transferability back, give a simple extension without any strings attached to it, no remonstrances, no fast tracks, no nothing. And I urge you not to pass this bill.
Thank you. Ms. Morelli?
Yes. I, too, came to the idea it was to be talking on Measure 37, but many of my complaints are pretty much the same as the rest of these people.
I need you to state your name and then go ahead and give us your position.
I'm Hal Morelli. I live in Molina, Oregon.
And your position on 833.
Pardon me?
And your position on 833?
I'm opposed, definitely opposed to Measure 33. Twice in the last 3-4 years, the voters of Oregon have decisively voted to return property rights to owners. Mr. Kulongoski feels that maybe he knows better for us. Putting all of the applications on hold would be a major financial setback for many of us who have gone ahead in good faith after receiving approvals and started development. Many of us have 40 to over 100,000 invested in the development of our properties. 833 only extends the process for us. I, too, have been approved for quite some time, just pending the reception of my building plans, which should be done any day. And here I'm faced with the possibility of extending my starting date, which I'm ready to do now, in the proper time of the year. This this could keep our investment from being an investment. And I don't really want to be the next Dorothy English. And so I would ask this committee to consider that people have spoken twice, and I think it's unfair and inconsiderate. And so I would like to again have you consider to revoke this law.
Thank you. Our next panel will include Craig Myers, and then we have, and I'm not sure if that's Ruben or
Ruben,
maybe Ruben E. Bergstrom, okay. Thank you. And then Marla Robinson. Mr. Myers?
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and get started?
Good evening, Honorable Co-Chairman. My name is Craig Myers. I'm against Measure 833 as it is written. In 1962, some longtime family friends purchased a property with an intention to develop it. But due to bad timing and perhaps the lack of the know-how, that didn't happen. Now they've been approved by both the state and the county through waivers, but they've been held up from pursuing this. Now that finally there's the expertise and the will to press this and to present a development plan. It's actually a wonderful plan and a proposal, and they should be allowed to see this come to fruition during their lifetimes. We've been told that there's an emergency situation preventing the processing, timely processing of these claims. I don't see that as nearly the emergency that presents itself as these people are approaching death. This is a race against death. They're the ones who are facing the emergency, not the people administering the implementation or the review of these applications. I've worked for state and county government for 27 years, and I worked for the Department of Revenue during the Measure 47, Measure 50 implementation back in 1997. We in the counties processed new valuations on every private tax lot in Oregon, hundreds of thousands of properties. It was a complicated process. It was a huge undertaking, but we got the job done so that the tax roll could be turned.
Mr. Myers, about 30 seconds.
Thank you. My point is this. The will was there then to get the job done. Now we're faced with a few thousand relatively simple matters to deal with that can be done by a title search. This is simple. And we're being told that this is going to require a huge delay. I think that's unfair to people. I don't think it's, frankly, a true emergency. And I urge this panel to look to ways to shorten that so that these people can at least receive what was guaranteed them through this measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bergenstein?
Yes, I'm Ruben Bergstrom.
Bergstrom, excuse me.
I oppose Measure 833. I don't think that anybody else has been able to totally separate Measure 37 and 833 here. And so I just like to read my statement. I live in Molalla, which is also the location of my Measure 37 claim. I'm here in opposition. I am concerned with the action that has been taken to dismantle Measure 37. I, along with many others, have invested much time and money in what we thought was our legal right to divide our property. If it was to be changed by the legislature, it should have been done 2 years ago. They had the opportunity to do it. We have been approved by both the county and the state, for 10 lots, most of which are 5 acres or more. The farm consists of 63 acres, one-third of which is rocky, with bedrock 2 to 3 feet down. The rest is not tillable because of large boulders and steep hillsides. I don't believe it's necessary to extend the approval time from 180 to 540 days because it's, in most cases, it only is a formality. Most of the claims easily fall into the Measure 37 guidelines. I believe the legislature's time could be better spent replacing the bad zoning law that has been in place for the past 33 years. The urban growth boundaries have been spreading across the best farmland while preserving my rocks and calling it farm ground. I also wonder if anyone has ever considered the additional tax revenue from the development of these claims. Thank you for my opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Let's see. Marla Robinson?
Robinson.
Robinson.
Marla Robinson. Good evening, committee. I'm here tonight to express my opposition to Senate Bill 833. My understanding of the history of the bill was that the counties needed more time to process Measure 37 claims that were filed near the deadline. I agree that additional time is needed to process these numerous late filing claims, but I strongly disagree with the excessive and unreasonably long period of time that you have laid out in Senate Bill 833. I believe we should move forward with claims in process and give the counties a 90-day extension for processing late claims, not up to 18 months. We should not burden claimants who have spent their savings filing papers, jumping through hoops, and attending meetings to defend their rights that we have already voter approved. I'm really upset about this bill. Is that the co-sponsors, Senator Prunesky, and Representative McPherson have gone way beyond just making provisions for additional processing time. They have inserted their personal bias into the legislation, particularly since Senator Prezinski's district voters approved Measure 37 by 54%. Measure 37 is approved by the Oregon voters, reinstated property rights that were taken. To limit these rights is outrageous. I urge this committee not to approve this measure. And I might add that my husband has had brain aneurysm and 10 heart surgeries, and we are tired of waiting.
Thank you for your testimony. Our next speakers include Carl Hines, looks like George Foreman, and Brian Hines.
Every time we put a new bill out,
Mr. Chair,
the same exact
yes.
A comment?
What their opinion on this bill?
I think the Senate Bill 833 is amazing.
Yes,
it has united both the pro and the against 37 people all together.
We made the same comment on this side. We're just going to see if it works for the whole evening. Then we're going to might be batting a thousand.
That's right.
could be on the right track.
We have agreement and fairness here.
We're the true uniters, not dividers.
All right, Ms. Hines.
My name is Laurel Hines, and I'm opposed to 833. And I'm opposed to it because it provides no relief for neighbors being harmed by Measure 37 subdivisions on farmland. I am with a group of neighbors, as I've said when I testified before, that is fighting one of the earliest Measure 37 217-acre subdivisions on farmland south of Salem near the Ankeny Wildlife Refuge. And so far, our group has spent $18,000 trying to protect our groundwater and the water in the wildlife refuge, which is also threatened. We now face yet another appeal coming up April 4th because the subdivision owners aren't happy with what the Marion County Planning Division limited to protect our groundwater, and they are wanting the whole 80 acres that they originally sought. So now we have to spend more money, and it may end up going to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which will cost even more money. I think that your committee needs to find either a permanent fix or put a hold on these kind of big subdivisions on farmland so that the neighbors don't have these huge expenses trying to protect their property rights and their resources. It seems to me that if a hold isn't placed on this, that the neighbors and the people affected by this and the taxpayers are the ones that are funding all the legal fights in court and all the legal issues that are unsolved by Measure 37. And it shouldn't be the taxpayers and the neighbors that are funding those fights. I think that the longer Measure 37 exists, the more it costs us all, and we need some kind of hold on the big subdivisions as soon as possible. And thank you. I really admire your ability to sit through all these hearings and listen to all this. It must not be easy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Foreman?
That's Forsman, thank you.
That's Forsman?
And I, right, George you. Forsman, and I do live in Canby.
Okay.
I bought a 60-acre farm in 66 there, and I bought in another 31 acres in 1971, and I had the right to subdivide, and the Clackamas County gave us the right to subdivide that in 1968 to one-acre lots. 1974, the state of Oregon took that away. And now it brings us up here, and I applied for, I got 20 acres left. Oh, by the way, the 1992, I was told that if I didn't sell my parceled land, which I had subdivided to 60 acres in 1978, under the threat of having EFU 40 put on my 20 acres, my 60-acre farm, I subdivided, and then furthermore, I had the next thing in 1972. I had to sell 70 acres because they took the right to build a house on my land for future use. And I said, this is the kind of crap that's going on in this state. And I think it's high time that you people look at fairness by taking away people's property rights, taking away their land, in the case of this whole process. And now I got approval, and back in last year, on my claim for the 20 acres to put on 20 houses. And the only place, I have the maps right here if you want to see them, but I got a piece out of the 20 acres, there is probably a half an acre, or let's say 2 acres, that you can get septic approval on, and the rest of it has got clay ground, and it's the contours are so bad, you can't even farm it. And I couldn't farm it, and I can't even hardly grow Christmas trees on it. Now, the question is, what do you want us to do? The county, far as I'm concerned, they took 6 months to process my claim, and I was one of the first ones there.
Mr. Forsman, you have about 15 seconds.
And all I'm saying to you is that they can turn around and they can do this a heck of a lot faster than 6 months, because they already know what the land is zoned for now and around the whole damn state. And
thank you. Mr. Hines?
Brian Hines. Like my wife, I'm opposed to Senate Bill 833. As you just heard, we're part of a group that has spent a lot of money, a lot of time on fighting a subdivision adjacent to us. Oregon doesn't need subdivisions sprouting on farmland while a Measure 37 fix is being found. Senate Bill 833 does nothing for us. And when I say us, I include many people who voted for Measure 37 but are now seeing its ill effects. Nor does it do anything for the wide margin of Oregonians, 48% no to only 29% yes, who would now reject Measure 37, according to a poll. This bill gives bureaucrats more time to process claims, but your committee has already heard plenty of testimony about the negative effects that those claims are producing in Oregon. It doesn't make any sense to merely briefly delay the onset of additional problems. You should reject this bill and focus on finding a permanent fix for Measure 37. This might include expediting claims for a single home. But any Measure 37 fix also should put a stop to the large-scale subdivisions, commercial and industrial development that Senate Bill 833 would allow to go forward, albeit a bit more slowly. We endorse Senate Bill 505. If the committee needs most of the session to come up with fixes to Measure 37, then all claims other than those for single-family homes should be suspended. Measure 37 is often spoke of as an environmental, economic, and societal train wreck. Senate Bill 833 would allow the carnage to continue while legislators ponder how to prevent the very problems that are being allowed. That doesn't make any sense. Extending deadlines for processing claims doesn't even rise to the level of a Band-Aid, which another critic of the bill called it a Band-Aid. I don't even call it a Band-Aid, because it's not even that on the wounds that Measure 37 is causing. Senate Bill 833.
About 20 seconds.
It's more like a license to let the ambulance arrive later after 9/11 has been called. The bill offers help to Measure 37 claimants who want to build a home. It offers help to county and state employees. It offers no help at all to us and our neighbors. We're on the front line of dealing with the subdivisions that are poised to sprout an irreplaceable Oregon farmland. Senate Bill 833 gives us no relief. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next panel is Ellen Egan, And then the first name, Ollie maybe Wilcox. And then it looks like Ron Walbant.
Maybe.
Sorry about the... Can't read the writing, though. We'll find out. Ellen?
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for letting me speak here today. My name is Ellen Egan, and I am opposed to Measure 833, Senate Bill 833. I believe that we do not need an extension of time to process claims, but we do need a moratorium on claims. Measure 37 has been disastrous for land use planning. Land use planning in Oregon is a big part of what makes the state livable. It's what we think of Oregon as being. I'm a farmer. I have a nursery north of Salem. And my family's been on the land since 1875. So from what I've heard so far, I've got seniority in the room. I'm the fifth generation on the farm, and I hope it will carry on as a farm when I'm ready to retire. At this time, there are no Measure 37 claims right next to me, but there are some large ones close by, and I don't like the thought that it's affecting our whole community. And I'm afraid for my groundwater. My nursery depends on water, and it's very intensively done greenhouse work, so we're careful with our water, but it still takes a lot of it. Subdivision going in nearby would probably deplete the groundwater considerably. I worry about my right to farm, even though we're in greenhouses and all our spraying is done out of sight and out of sound. Still, I find that the non-agricultural public often have an extremely inflated view of the toxicity of the chemicals we use, many of which are nearly harmless, but they don't have that perception. If they knew we were spraying near them, they would be upset. Our right to farm, although there are right to farm laws in effect, complaining neighbors are not good things to have. So I think that we need to go back, take a look at Measure 37.
15 seconds or so.
And not extend the time to process claims. Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe it's at Ollie Wilcox.
Ollie Wilcox?
Yes, ma'am.
I have property in Colton, in Clackamas County. I'd like to find a developer that everybody's talking about. I'm told by my rules, I have to develop my own. And I'm 78 years old. So if you all have a developer that'll come ahead and do this for me, send him around. And I'm opposed to 833. I was opposed to 505. I want four parcels, 2 acres each, in a Colton that has city water. I can have septic system. I'm walking distance between two schools. I'm not going to hurt anybody, except I've saved this land for 40 years. Now, I imagine if I have that opportunity, these people will pay taxes too. I hear people say, we're going to have to pay taxes for these people. No, you don't. They'll pay taxes. Yours might go up some. Mine will too. But they pay taxes. They'll help support the schools and the infrastructure. This isn't a freebie. And certainly, if you have a Measure 37 claim and go to the Clackamas County Planning, you're not walking out free-handed. You're paying plenty for all the permits that you have to have, which I'm willing to do. Now, as far as 833 is concerned, if anybody in the state of Oregon would sign their life away to the state of Oregon for one house, must have to have their head examined, because then their heirs or successors would have no rights left at all. The state of Oregon would own your land. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. I want to have control of my own land. God gave me that right when he created the earth. My husband fought in World War II to give us freedom. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilcox. And Ron, Walbank?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to have a microphone, and why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Ron Walbank, and I'm opposed to Measure 833. I figure it's just a cover-up, or an extension maybe, to help the Planning Commission handle these things that they've created themselves. They have created so many hoops to jump through, so many problems, that they're uptight because they're getting nowhere. They're awful slow. 180 days to do something, it's outrageous. But it ain't outrageous when you gotta pay. They really know how to make you pay. So that's one of the main reasons I want to get rid of 833 and 505, and let's go back where a person can do something with their land without all these problems. Our rights are going down the tube fast, and I hate to see that in this country. It's a shame. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next panel will include Judson Parsons, Dan Goffin, and Patricia Royer. Judson?
I'm Judson Parsons. Thank you, committee members. I live in Marion County. I'm opposed to 833. I own, along with my wife, farm and forest land in Marion County and also in Jackson County. I agree that the counties in LCDC do need more time to properly process the claims and have public hearings, but I am against other measures in 833. I am in favor of 505, and I believe that large claims, for that is multiple housing claims, should be put on hold. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. And let's see, I believe we said Dan Goffin.
I'm Dan Goffin. I live in Almsville. I do sit on Marion County's Planning Commission. I have a meeting at 7 o'clock. We have done 6 subdivisions already. I have another measure 37-1 tonight for 44 acres with 19 houses north of Salem. I understand why the counties want this delay, but the counties are so afraid of being sued that they're just basically granting waivers. We on the Planning Commission then have to sort through it and deal with the water issues and everything else. Senator George says it's a water issue and a water-sensitive zone, which we have over half of our Measure 37 claims in Marion County, should not be granted. The county's waiving everything, so we have to deal with on the Planning Commission this 217 acres. I was the one that made the motion limiting that 43-acre lot subdivision down to 28 lots because of water limited. Then you're appealing it to the commissioners, and it'll probably be overturned by the commissioners, and they'll get their thing, and we don't know what there's out there for water because Water Resources hasn't done their job. 833, I'm opposed to it for the simple fact it does not do anything other than grant counties time to deal with it. It's just a postponement of reality. Agriculture has been gut shot. We that are farmers, I'm a third generation, and I want to continue farming. I bought a parcel of 94 acres in 70. I paid a little over $15,000 for it. It's valued at almost $1 million a day. That's a pretty good return on my investment. These people keep crying, we have lost our retirement.
Mr. Goffin, about 30 seconds.
Thank you. But as I said, agriculture has been gut shot. Everything we've done so far isn't even a Band-Aid. We keep ignoring the issues that ag is out there bleeding and slowly dying. Marion County is the top ag-producing county in the state. We're going to have the reputation of being the number two county for subdivisions. If that's something, we don't get our head out of the sand and face reality, we're going to have leapfrog subdivisions all over this county that the school buses, the fire departments, the police have to drive miles to get to.
Thank you. Ms. Royer?
Thank you, Chairman, committee members. I'm Pat Royer from Newburgh, Oregon. To quote Economist Thomas Sowell, according to the Constitution of the United States, the government cannot take private property without compensation. However, judges have been letting governments get away with doing just that for about half a century now. So long as the title to property remains in the hands of its owners, the courts let local, state, federal governments do pretty much as what they please, even if that destroys much of the value of the property. From an economic point of view, there is no real difference between confiscating half of someone's property and reducing its value by half. When county officials drastically restrict the uses to which land can be put, that land becomes less valuable on the market. Land use laws are just one way that governments can confiscate much of the value of private property without having to compensate the owner. What you're proposing in Senate Bill 833 is more of the same. It's theft on a colossal scale. Measure 37 is the law. Please respect the voters and let it stand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I ask Mr. Gaffin a question?
No. We're not allowed the panel to ask any other questions of anyone else. I don't think it would be fair. So you can talk to Mr. Goffin off record. If you want him to put something on the record, it can be done in writing, then it can be part of the record. But at this point, I'm not comfortable doing that since we did not do that for other people. We have David Adams, and that's Mr. Adams is the last I have listed here. Was there anyone else that has not signed up on today's sign-up registration sheets who have not testified tonight that wanted to give testimony? If so, raise your hand. If not, Mr. Adams, you'll be our last speaker.
Great. Good evening. Dave Adams. I live in the hamlet of Stafford. I'm speaking in opposition to 833. I believe it doesn't actually go far enough. Mm. As predicted, Measure 37 has destroyed Oregon's world-famous land use planning laws with the speed and destructiveness of nature's delete button, the tsunami. And everyone in this room, we're here trying to pick through the rubble. What we need, I said this before, is an honest conversation about compensation. We need time to have an honest conversation about waivers. The 180-day limitation put on the counties and the states is completely ridiculous. We all know that. It's part of the debris we're all trying to pick through right now. Anything you can do to buy us time, buy yourself time, so that we can have the honest conversation, everyone in the state is going to benefit from. I would support 833 if you actually were willing to suspend Measure 37 claims so that we don't hear from another giant battery of citizens who've invested in their claims. So we don't have a lot of time, but we need time. So please do your best, buy us time, so we can have an honest conversation. There is no delete button on this one. It's not going to be easy, but you got to do it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, that concludes the public hearing that we have scheduled for tonight. I want to thank everyone for their patience and their willingness to listen to everyone and the different sides. And I guess if we need to report anything after tonight, it appears everyone that spoke tonight opposed Senate Bill 833, either for one side or another or somewhere in between.
Actually, even up by my count, as their underlying position on Measure 37, I had 28 speakers and 14 to 14 in terms of their position.
All right. Again, thank you very much for being here and being part of the process. The committee is adjourned.